to Fitfluential Radio, the intersection of fitness, health, wellness, and modern medicine. 50% education, 50% motivation. We're here to help you find your fitness. Tune in weekly for interviews with some of the most respected and experienced names in the business, providing actionable insights for you in every episode. Thanks for tuning in today. Let's roll. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and today on the show, thrilled to have a man who's become a really good friend of mine, Tom King. And we spell Tom T-H-O-M King. And of course, we'll link up to all of his different websites and different companies in the show notes. But I connected with Tom actually through his PR agent because he had a new book that was coming out. It's called Guy Gone Keto. So obviously, today's conversation is going to revolve around, and I'm using air quotes over here, the keto diet. And the reason I put air quotes around, well, I'm a fan of using air quotes, let's be real. But I'm using air quotes because I think particularly as this show goes live in January of 2019, the keto diet is something that a lot of folks who are getting on the I need to lose weight bandwagon with New Year's resolutions are Googling because they think it's a trendy, fast way to lose fat without having to give up foods that they want, right? And the truth is that being in ketosis and benefiting from your body being in a ketosis state, and I'm paraphrasing here, it's actually been around a lot longer than you think, and there are health benefits. And I, by no means, even though I would not say I follow a keto diet, I'm keto-ish sometimes. I'm more on the paleo side of things. I know from interviewing my doctor, Dr. Lane Sebring, and of course, we'll link up to some of his interviews here. He is a strong advocate for using exogenous ketones, for being in ketosis as long as you can. For you intermittent fasters out there, that's pretty much what happens when you're fasting. You're putting your body in a state of ketosis. Again, my paraphrasing. But I think you're really going to enjoy this interview with Tom because I wanted to interview him knowing that he had changed his life by, and I would say he's like a hardcore keto guy. On the other hand, he's not that guy who's trying to push it on everybody. This is going to be a show and a talk that's going to educate you and I think really enlighten you on the whole keto diet, ketosis, why it's not like a crazy trend or a fad diet by any means, and why it might possibly be a good fit for you. So, you know, tune in. And of course, we'll link up to everything. Tom King, interestingly enough, not only is he the author of a book called Guy Gone Keto. We'll link that up. Great read with some great recipes. He also owns and runs two companies, and we'll link up to his guygoneketo.com in the show notes. You'll find some amazing keto products there. Probably, I mean, if you're like me, when you look at this site and you see these, you know, sauces, he just develops them because of you know, how he eats on a regular basis. Really drool worthy. He also owns a company called Steviva, hope I'm saying that correctly, that helps provide sweeteners to companies that want cleaner sweeteners in their products. And then he also runs a business called Icon Foods. So he's a really busy guy. And I really appreciate the fact that he took the time to join us on Fitfluential Radio for this conversation. So sit back and enjoy this two-part episode with Tom King, author of Guy Gone Keto. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and today on the show, here's a fangirl moment. I have Tom King, and he is truly one of the coolest cats out there that I have ever met, and this is the truth. Tom, we connected. So first of all, Tom, welcome to the show. When did you and I first
Thanks,
meet?
Kelly.
Was it 2 months ago? Was it 3 months ago?
I think it was 3 months ago. Yeah, I was on 3 months ago, and yeah, we had some really fantastic conversations.
Every single time I talk to this guy, he ends up being my doctor on the phone, and he doesn't come across that way, but he is a wealth of knowledge, and he has made such a huge impact on my life in regards to talking about gut health and just the food and lifestyle changes that I've been making. He's the reason that I take a prebiotic now in addition to my probiotics. I mean, he just really knows his stuff. And as I referenced in the introduction, he's the author of this great book, Guy Gone Keto. And we're going to talk a lot about it's a very trending thing right now. And I only say trending to mean the conversation is picking up. I don't mean that this is a fad or a trend. In fact, my doctor is a strong advocate of the ketogenic approach to eating and so on. So we're going to talk a lot about that today. But again, I welcome you to the show, Tom. Are you ready to go and start chatting?
I am. Thanks, Kelly. Yeah. And that introduction was super over the top. It's like, I can feel my head swelling. My headset's coming off. So thank you for that. I really appreciate your kind words.
But it really is true. And you know it, because every time I got off the phone, I'm like, I really should pay him for that phone call. Because it was like, I got to, and I took so many notes, and I would go call my man. I'm like, oh my God, prebiotics. Who ever heard of this? And nice. Inulin. And then I hear, it's so funny. We'll talk about it later. But, you know, one of the biggest blogs that I follow, you know, she's putting like inulin in her coffee. And I'm like, Tom King must have gotten to her. But that'll be a whole other, we're going to do a secondary interview with him about gut health specifically. But let's dive into keto talk. Now, the topic of, for everybody listening, I know that there's going to be two schools listening. There's going to be people who have never done anything close in their diet. And when I use the word diet, I'm using air quotes. I'm using diet as a way of eating. I'm not, you know, an advocate of going on a specific diet as a fad. But there's going to be people who have, they understand ketosis or the ketogenic diet. And then there's people that hear that and maybe have only heard it in the context of a certain, you know, trendy diet and a trendy book from the 70s that was out that encouraged people to go have like 27 cheeseburgers a day. And they would get all excited about it. They're like, well, I'm in ketosis and I know it gives you bad breath, but it makes you lose a lot of weight. And that's, I know, not really what we're talking about with the ketogenic diet and getting into ketosis. So there's a lot of misinformation out there, but you've got this great book out called Guy Gone Keto and a whole real brand around that. What was it? Tell us the story behind this. Like, when did you get into going keto and why?
Well, I think that I had to just face down my own demons. So I wrote the book about 3.5 years ago. I was in Vegas at a trade show, because that's the only reason for me to ever go to Vegas is for a trade show. So, so I was in Vegas and I had gone to dinner with one of my clients, and you know, they were paying. So of course, you know, I proceeded to overindulge and eat a big, huge steak and potatoes and then cake after dinner. And we shared a bottle of wine. And I got up to my room at the beautiful Luxor.
I have some experiences there.
Yeah, I think that they need to either do a hardcore remodel to that or just scrape it and start it over. Because it's like my room, it was a deluxe room. It had a jacuzzi in the middle of the room, which is altogether a whole different sort of weird feeling. But, you know, I went back to the room and, you know, the room really reeked of, I guess, regret and broken dreams. And so I kind of hit a bit of a low and I looked in the mirror and I was carrying 35 pounds of extra weight. And I felt like a huge fraud because, you know, my food ingredient company, we cater to the, you know, to consumer goods manufacturers that, you know, make ketogenic products and, you know, and are focused on clean label sugar reduction. And I am eating pizzas at night and drinking a bottle of wine every day and, you know, not at all following any type of keto diet, mostly just following a diet of gluttony and, you know, which, you know, when you're carrying an extra 35 pounds of weight and my head was super foggy, that's when I looked in the mirror and it's like, this has to come to an end. So the book actually just was sort of organically hatched because I started journaling and taking notes about, you know, my experience in moving into a ketogenic lifestyle. And I know in the beginning you used the word diet in air quotes. And I think that the biggest take home, you know, for your audience in this is that you can't diet. Like, diets just don't work. They're sort of a temporary solution that will just set you back, because once you stop dieting, you know, you're going to gain all that weight back plus more. So it puts you in this yo-yo thing. So it actually has to be a conscious lifestyle change. And that's why I started journaling about, you know, like what it took to actually, you know, make a lifestyle shift like that. And the next thing I knew, I had a book. So it was pretty cool.
How long, I'm just curious, how long did it take you?
It took me about a year to write the book, and then maybe 6 months of editing after that. So like working with the editor was awesome. I mean, I think, you know, I'd written a couple sort of textbooks before, but I'd never really written a book that came from my heart. You know, so working with editors was super useful for me, because they, you know, they were able to guide me and make me, you know, not sound like a complete idiot.
Okay. I'm not really trying to sound, if for those of you that are listening, I'm being utterly sincere. It's impossible for you to sound like an idiot, Tom.
Well, you can ask my sisters about that. They've seen plenty of idiot come out of me before.
All right. I'll just pretend that I think you're an idiot sometimes, but not really. I will say this. I can enhance what you were saying about the, and I feel a little bad saying this, but it's interesting that you were at the Luxor Hotel 3.5 years ago, because mm-hmm. I used to have to, unfortunately, be in Vegas a lot for conferences and conventions. And I have always loved Egyptian history. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to stay at the Luxor. And I always thought it was so cool. Well, the last time I was there, and this was within the time that I started FitFluential. So it was probably 2012, 2013. Maybe we were there for CES. And I chose the Luxor Hotel. And I remember that the only way to connect to the internet was like a dialogue still. And you had to like pull your phone, and my view out the window was like an air conditioning facility. It was, I remember my friend showed up and she's like, cause we were shooting a YouTube video and I still have it. I should send it to you. Cause we're looking around like, this is like a CSI episode waiting to happen. It just
completely,
it felt so uncomfortable. Like the beds had the kind of bedspread on it where it was like Saran wrap. You know, you felt like you could spill your drink and it would just peel, you know, like peel right off the bed. But I digress. That's the Luxor Hotel. I'm sure that there's discounts if you want to stay there.
It's super affordable. It's super affordable. And I think that's, yeah, I think that's the upside of it. But yeah, I mean, when you say CSI, I'm sure that there's ample amounts of DNA floating around in each one of those rooms.
That's the best quote out of this interview so far. Okay, so you decided to, and yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned about diet. It has to be, and that's why I always, sometimes it's just a great way of saying it. Like what diet, I always try to say diet approach, but when you started to, you know, go keto, what was there a period for you that, so think about when I'm asking you this question, think about people that are listening here. I'm going to say maybe 50% of our audience is probably familiar with, I would say, paleo, keto, intermittent fasting. And then there's going to be the others that are, you know, I eat healthy. What the hell is this keto stuff? Is it just eating cheeseburgers? Would you just describe for those people that are in the latter group, what is a ketogenic diet in as simple a way as you can describe for it? And why is it beneficial? You know, why is this not just some trend like the cabbage soup diet?
Yeah, that's a really, really great question. So the simple version of keto, 70% fat and 20% protein, 10% carbs, but your carbs come from cruciferous vegetables like kale and broccoli and cauliflower. So that's it in a nutshell. So when people are thinking, whoa, 70% fat, yeah, you're going to be getting that not from cheeseburgers. I mean, you can definitely have cheeseburgers without buns, but I'm thinking more salmon and nuts and avocados, you know, chicken thighs. You can have some, you know, obviously bacon and eggs. There's a lot of sort of healthy fat that, you know, that you can take in, you know, to reach your 70% fat mark. And so I'm sure that a lot of people that are not familiar with, you know, with keto are like, what are you, crazy? 70% fat? Well, so I think that there was an actual public relations campaign that happened in the 60s that actually vilified fat. It was paid for by the sugar industry. It vilified fat, and it also positioned sugar as, oh, this is a great energy source. So, which is not really true. Like, your body has the ability to burn two types of fuel. Number one, it can burn glucose, okay? And that's what you're going to be getting when you eat, you know, when you eat sugar. The second and more efficient energy source that it can burn is called ketones. And ketones are created when you eat fat. So let's say you ate, you know, some coconut, you know, some coconut oil or almond butter. So, I mean, that's going to be primarily fat. And so your body, your liver actually metabolizes that fat and turns it into ketones. And those ketones go into your bloodstream. And now your brain is actually being fueled with ketones, which are fats, rather than glucose, which are super fast burning. And you see more than the benefit of losing weight. Like, I lost 35 pounds within probably an 8-month period. It was like it was fast, but it was not at a pace where, you know, I had flabby skin or anything.
Yeah.
But the benefit, I mean, there's a clear benefit because you lose weight. And I think people are always interested in losing weight. But I would say the bigger benefit was clarity. Like, my brain, it was like somebody had just turned the lights on. When my body is in ketosis, when it's burning ketones, it's like drinking 3 or 4 cups of coffee without the jittery feeling. Like, you're super alert, super awake, you know, and super energized. So I really feel like burning super clean fats like that is such a better fuel source for your body, and it doesn't lead to inflammation.
Okay, I have a couple questions for you. Mm-hmm. So, and forgive me if I did not hear you correctly, because mm-hmm. I'm writing notes while we're talking. When you said, so the body can burn glucose, which mm-hmm. would be when you eat, let's just say, traditional carbs, right? Like packaged foods and whatnot. That would be burning glucose. Or it can, when you eat fat, and you mentioned something about the liver. So is it, because
right.
there's sometimes that I've heard, whether it's from medicine mm-hmm. or food, and we hear this, well, that's processed by the liver, and this is processed by the intestine. Mm-hmm. And your average person, like me, is going, are you serious? Like, is there a remote control that you say, hey, this food needs to go to the liver? Is fat, when you're saying when we eat healthy fats, is the liver processing that? And why? Why would that be different from how those carbs are processed?
That's a really, really great question. So the different organs in your body are responsible for metabolizing different compounds. So your liver actually metabolizes most of the compounds that you bring into your body. Like, when you look at, you know, when you look at eating sugar. So if you eat table sugar, which is called sucrose, table sugar is basically half glucose and half fructose. And so when your body breaks it apart, your liver is what metabolizes the fructose, and your stomach is what metabolizing your glucose. And so the glucose goes straight to your bloodstream and elicits an insulin response, you know, to keep your blood sugar balanced. Otherwise you'd be, you know, sky high and sky low. So you really need to have the insulin to be able to adjust, you know, for taking in glucose. But the fructose part of it is metabolized by the liver. So that means your liver breaks it down, and your liver really can only metabolize about 25 grams of fructose each day. So anytime you're taking in more than 25 grams of fructose, your liver says, hey, I've maxed out here. I can't metabolize any more fructose. And it pushes it into your bloodstream as what's called lipids or fats. And then those fats are the thing that accumulates around your waistline. So that also is what leads to metabolic disease. So when you see somebody who's carrying extra weight, and you see it all around the middle, That's generally a sign of metabolic disease or insulin resistance, meaning that their body is not able to produce enough insulin to offset the glucose that they're bringing in their system. So it gets all that fat gets stored around your middle because your, you know, our body, our caveman body says, hey, we don't know when we're going to have to run from a saber-toothed tiger. So, you know, let's store this and wait, but we don't live in those conditions anymore. Mm-hmm. So all of those lipids or all of that fat just keep building up and building up and building up because we're not burning it.
Okay. So first of all, and you know, I've in the past, I was diagnosed with insulin resistance and, gotten past it with changing my diet, and changing my lifestyle. And you and I, that's going to be another topic we should talk about on the upcoming show, the whole metformin discussion. But the you explain this really well. I say that because there's a lot of people who can get very scientific and they don't kind of dumb it down. And your average person is going to go, what? So you really explained it well. I mean, I'm understanding it better, but let me see if I can articulate what I'm hearing you say. So in other words, really, our liver, you said, can only metabolize about 25 grams of fructose a day. So to put it very simply, which we've all heard this before, if you're taking in an abundance of sugar, which can be cereal, it can be bread, it doesn't have to be table sugar in your coffee.
Right.
It can be Coke or any, I don't mean to just pick on Coke, you know, drink sweet tea, it can be bread, it can be cookies, it can be chips, it can be anything that's going to be sugar. These are my words, so if I'm wrong, tell me. And you go over that 25 grams, this is inevitably what's likely to happen is the liver's going to say enough. It's going to push the excess out into your bloodstream as lipids or fats. And if you're storing most of your fat, which so many of us past the age of 30 are doing it around strictly our core, and you always hear people going, I can't lose this weight around my middle, is it likely then that a diet is going to be heavy in carbs and sugars that's causing that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you said it, I mean, absolutely perfect. And that if you, so to put things in perspective, let's take like a Mountain Dew. So we already picked on Coke. We'll pick on Mountain Dew now. So let's just say you take a big gulp.
I'm obsessed with Diet Mountain Dew. I'm not going to lie. I can't lie. Okay. And it's horrible. I mean, it's horrible for me to say that. And people will go, I can't believe you own a fitness company. You love Diet Mountain Dew. Shoot me. We all have vices. And I do have an occasional Diet Mountain Dew. I'm not going to lie.
That's okay. And I still have all my vices too. So every person, you know, you have to pick your battles. And so the main thing is just be happy. And be happy with yourself. So, you know, but if you can make choices that make you happier, you know, I think that that's a good direction. But to put things in perspective, if you have a big gulp, you know, like one of those ones you get at a convenience store with Mountain Dew, that's going to have about 80 grams of fructose.
Oh,
so
wow.
80 grams of fructose, because it uses high fructose corn syrup, 80 grams of fructose, and your body is only able to metabolize 25 grams of it. That's going to leave you 55 grams of fructose that are going to be going into your, you know, into your bloodstream as lipids. And they only have one place to go, and that's around your middle. So when you see people, generally when you see people that are suffering from metabolic disease and insulin resistance, it's easy to spot because you do see the weight gathered right around, you know, around the middle. And yeah, that is a direct correlation to eating too many carbohydrates and too much sugar. So eliminating those will help. But here's another caveat. So in the beginning, you said, you know, that there's certain levels, like misnomers about, you know, the keto diet, like, oh, your breath is going to smell bad and, you know, all you're going to be eating is cheeseburgers. Well, the fact is that the bad breath thing, that came from Atkins diet. So yes. People were complaining, oh yeah, his breath smells terrible. Well, that is a function of eating too much protein. So one thing.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So one thing that's different about a keto diet and Atkins is Atkins had a lot more protein and a real keto diet has a lot more fat. So, and if you eat too much protein, you can actually throw yourself out of keto. So that's why it's important to keep your proteins low, like at 20%. And so what happens is that meat or proteins, right? Mm-hmm. Proteins have naturally occurring sugars, and your body actually converts that protein to what's called glycogens. And so glycogens are actually glucose that's stored in your muscle tissues. So if you eat too much protein, number one, it's going to be super hard, you know, super hard on your body to metabolize it. And number two, I mean, you're going to be super dehydrated all the time because it takes a lot of fluids to be able to metabolize proteins. That's what's going to cause your, that's what's going to cause bad breath. But also, it's going to throw you out of keto. So you're still going to be struggling more, you know, with your weight loss and with mental clarity if you're eating too much protein. So, I mean, there's another sort of misconception too, which is called the keto flu. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that, yeah. I don't know what it is, but I've heard of it.
So the keto flu, and I mean, I've talked to people before who have had the keto flu, and they're like, oh my God, I couldn't, you know, it was terrible. I felt like for 4 days before I became fat adapted. So being fat adapted means that your body is like, okay, now I'm burning on, you know, now I'm burning fats instead of, and you know, instead of glucose. So I've talked to people that have claimed that they've had the keto flu. Honestly, I've never had the keto flu. I think that if you hydrate and you are, you know, making sure that you're getting plenty of electrolytes, like maybe dropping a little bit of salt, potassium chloride even works, like just basically the elements that you'd find in Gatorade, except without all the sugar. So if you, you know, if you're able to keep your electrolytes up and you drink plenty of water, you're going to avoid bad breath. You're going to avoid the keto flu, and it should just go super smoothly.
Thanks for listening. This is the end of part one of the interview with Tom King. Be sure to tune in for part two.